I was on the outside. I was rocking and rolling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was straight course on set to graduation, good GPA, the whole nine yards, good group of friends.
Everything looks good on paper, yeah.
The scariest place you can be is in your head, in your own head. And especially when you're just like kind of going in a circle and you're like, oh man, this is not good thinking. This is not constructive thinking. And it took me a while to realize that, you know, it's still something I'm trying to practice. But I think that was my first kind of experience recognizing that you got to break free from this kind of pattern of negativity.
Yeah. Okay, folks, welcome to the podcast. I am Dr. John Duffy. Right off the bat, I want you to know that I appreciate you protecting time for this show. I know your time's at a premium and valuable to you, and so I truly appreciate it. To that end, I have a very special, interesting guest sitting right across from me today. Stuart, welcome.
Hey, man. Good to be here.
It's so good to have you here. Stuart has, I think, a really compelling, really relatable story to tell us. Why don't we start? Let's start at the beginning. Let's go back in time, back to your college days. How old a guy are you now, Stuart?
I'm 24.
You're 24 now. So let's go back a few years, and let's start at the beginning of the story. How were things going when you were a young college man, just getting started?
Oh man, first 2 years of school, they were great. Just getting my feet on solid ground. Still trying to figure out, you know, what I wanted to do major wise and everything. I went to school for telecommunications.
Right.
And you got to kind of decide a path at the school. I went to it at Ball State, and I chose media ad sales to get into there. And yeah, first 2 years were solid.
Right.
You know,
you were having a good time.
Good time.
You felt good about that major. That
right.
Felt like the right direction.
I had a good group of friends. I had, you know, good support back home and at school. Professors were awesome. And it,
did you transition easily into it? Did you feel the transition from high school here to college there in Indiana? Did that feel smooth, or was that difficult for you?
Yeah, you know, it was smooth. I feel like, you know, with any college student, there was an initial maybe 2 week period where you're like, oh man, I don't know a single person here. There was no one from my graduating class that went to join me at the school.
I didn't know that you were the only guy.
It's the only guy.
What was it like being the only guy?
Oh, it was great. I got to kind of blaze my own trail.
And be the guy you want to be. Huh?
Exactly.
You can redefine yourself.
Kind of, yeah. So it wasn't too much of a tough transition. I felt it was a pretty big school, about 30,000 students.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of commuters, too, because there's a lot of small towns in
right.
Central Indiana. So you had a lot of kids going back to home on the weekends or doing extended weekends at home. But the group of friends that I fell in with were always around, so that was awesome. I had a good time there, yeah.
So it sounds like freshman, sophomore year, things are running on all cylinders. Everything's
totally.
Going great.
You know, I did a semester in London, the tail end of my sophomore year. And I think that I came back from that and I was like, oh, okay, like junior year, we're getting into it now. Like this is, you know, my time here, I see an end.
Yes. So things are getting real because, you know, like, okay, I'm at a halfway point. This
right.
will come to an end.
Absolutely,
huh?
Right. Yeah. You know, I was doing well in school. You know, that wasn't the problem, but there was just kind of like a what's next.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder if there's something universal about that. You know, I worked with a guy recently who was right at that spot, and he kind of had the same realization. He was bummed that he was halfway through. And kind of suddenly in the moment, like thinking like, okay, now I really have to get serious and think about what's next.
Right. To that point, I don't know if it was, I was never bummed to know it to be done. I actually tried to get out of there in three and a half years. I was ready to come back to Chicago. You know, I missed the city. I missed that
yeah.
vibe to it. So I was never the fact that I was ready to, or I was that I was going to miss it. It was just kind of, you know, that I needed to have a game plan.
Yep.
And coming back, I think, you know, from like 2 years of just, you know, figuring it out, and then being like, okay, now what have I figured out?
Right.
Now I got to define that, and now I got to kind of make something of that.
Right. Figuring it out is
right.
so diffuse. You want to
right.
make it specific, right?
Seriously.
So yeah.
And so I, you know, I knew that I wanted to come back to Chicago, and you know, what did I want to do there? I don't know. And I had declared a minor in digital media, and digital literacy and storytelling, and that was grueling. That was tough.
In what way?
man, I had this professor who was incredible. He was great. Oh, he challenged me at every single turn. And, you know,
you can look good and the bad of that.
You can look at that whatever way you want.
Right.
Like, oh, man, like you just wanted like an easy grade or you wanted an easy project. And this guy was just, he would never give that to you, which I'm very thankful for. He was very critical, you know, of all like the work that I did. But I think that it kind of that turned into a really tough semester and maybe like a tough year.
Yeah.
I was really struggling with self-confidence just because I wasn't sure what I wanted to do next. And that just kind of like really took hold of me for at least a year, for the better part of that school year.
Do you think that class drove some of those questions, or do you feel like they would have existentially hit you one way or another?
I think, yeah, that professor in general totally turned me on to that because, you know, he really made me think critically.
Yeah.
And I just kind of got into this pattern of thinking, you know, critically, and sometimes I would get caught up in a little bit of a negative thinking pattern.
Yeah. Tell me about that. Like, how did that manifest?
It manifested all in my head. I was on the outside. I was rocking and rolling, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I was straight course on set to graduation, good GPA, the whole nine yards, good group of friends.
Everything looks good on paper, yeah. And MBA.
The scariest place you can be is in your head, in your own head. And especially when you're just like kind of going in a circle. And you're like, oh, man, this is not good thinking. This is not constructive thinking. And it took me a while to realize that. You know, it's still something I'm trying to practice. But I think that was my first kind of experience recognizing that you got to break free from this kind of pattern of negativity.
Yeah. And it's interesting to hear you say, and I think some people listening will be able to relate to this idea of, you know, like, my life looks good. It looks right. My parents are happy. My friends are happy. I look like a happy guy who's on the right path. Can you pinpoint it all? And this is a tricky question. No is an acceptable answer to this question. Can you pinpoint the nature of the negative thinking that is, you know, and you're kind of spiraling through your mind?
I would usually come to the realization only after I've kind of driven myself all the way down. You know,
is that right?
Yeah. And then like, oh man, I'm here and I gotta dig myself back out, or like you almost kind of take inventory of like the last, you know, 7 days of how you've been thinking. You're like, that didn't do me any good, you know. And it's tough to kind of break out of that because you're in your own world.
And is it anxiety, depression, hopelessness about the future? You know, what's driving it?
I never wanted to classify what I was feeling as anything. I didn't want to kind of put a stigma to it. I just want to say, okay, this is not how I want to think.
Right.
You know, not how I want to be inside my own head.
Just negative thinking.
Negative thinking.
Negative thought patterns.
And
okay.
Critical to a fault. Because I think that there's a way to be constructive in your own critical thinking and how you examine your own thoughts for a positive outcome.
Right.
And I had trouble doing that.
So the criticism of yourself was harsher than it needed to be. It wasn't constructive.
Absolutely.
Got it.
Absolutely.
Got it.
And so in terms of, you know, whatever was going on, whether it was my own schoolwork or just feeling that I didn't know what to do after school or didn't kind of have a game plan, that was kind of like I felt in my head a poor reflection of myself, that I didn't have it together.
Got it.
And so that was kind of the circle, you know.
And it seems like kind of a risky, almost dangerous venture to have that in your head while everything looks fine.
Mm.
You know?
It was tough, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because tough. Because nobody knows, right? And so I assume there's no pressure on you, at the very least, to talk to anybody about it. Did you?
Yeah, you know what I did? I did talk to a few people at school just to dump brain dump on them, you know,
yeah.
Like, here's what I'm feeling. Give me like a little bit of feedback, you
know?
And so that was good. And, you know, I had my parents back home that were like 100% the whole way.
Totally supportive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep. And would you talk to them?
I talked to them. Yeah. And they both gave me really solid advice from both ends of the spectrum. So I had an awesome support system in place. I mean, my friends were solid,
yeah,
but still there was like, you know, something I just couldn't shake.
Yep. I can tell.
And I think the one thing that, you know, my parents and my friends and whatever kind of support group I was in at the time, whatever support web I was using, they're like, you know, it's okay. You'll figure it out. And it's tough to believe that in that moment when you're like, no, man, I won't figure it out. Like, right. I need to figure it out now. Like, yeah. In this moment, I need to do that.
So you're more like kind of outcome-oriented than process-oriented. Right. I want an outcome now, man. I don't want a process.
Exactly,
here.
Yeah. Exactly. And that's kind of what I was learning. That's what I definitely did learn, is that, you know, it's a process.
Do you wish they had handled it? And I get that everybody handled this with great love and care for you, but would it have been better for you in some way if somebody had agreed with you? If somebody had said, you know what, it's true, right? It is really difficult to be in the midst of something. Do you wish somebody had just acknowledged where you were instead of trying to fire you up not to be there?
Right. Maybe. I'll give you a maybe on that, because I think that the way that the support that I did get and the way that I did handle it ultimately was a positive.
Yeah, it sounds like it.
It was. And I think that the advice that I got was what I needed mm-hmm. in that moment to kind of like almost snap me out of it.
Yeah. Well put.
But I think that as, you know, I mature and I age, that it is important to acknowledge that, is at least internally or to another person, say, hey, it's okay, you know, that you're having a tough time right now, but, you know, the advice that they gave me was, it's a process, you know, right. You know.
So. And the truth, right? Right. I mean, in the end, it's the truth. It's just hard to hear when you're fretting and when your thinking is so low, right? I mean, you know, to hear like, oh, everything's going to be fine. Mm-hmm. That is hard to wrap your brain around mm-hmm. when you are in depths. And I like your, Stuart, I really like your position of, I'm not interested in putting a label on this. I think you were really deliberate about that, and I can appreciate that. And I think that probably is really astute of you. That's really deliberate, isn't it?
Absolutely. Once I label it, then you kind of have to change your mindset to kind of like, oh, well, I'm doing this because it's this way, or I have to improve or cope because of this.
Right,
and
right.
You're, by labeling it, you're almost kind of conforming to that.
Yep, that, I get it.
Which cannot be named.
Right, you know? that cannot be named. And to that point, you know, I think it might be doing, sometimes I think we do ourselves a disservice when we paint ourselves with this broad brush, like, oh, well, this is depressive thinking, this is anxious thinking, this is hopeless or suicidal thinking for some people, you know, instead of thinking, this is where I am. This is where I am in this moment. It's unique to me. In all likelihood, nobody's felt precisely this way ever before, you know, and nobody ever may again, you know, and to just respect that, you know, here's where I am. And I really have to think about like understanding it and taking steps to move forward from here so I don't feel this way perpetually at the very least.
Right. Right.
So how do things progress from there? So I get where you go abroad and you take this class and somehow you get this quantum leap in realization and awareness, and which is a burden and you know, a gift, I would imagine, wrapped in the same package. What happens next?
I toughed on through it. Mm-hmm. I did. I'm trying to think if there was like a, you know, a button that I pressed where I was like, oh, now it's going to be okay. But
yeah, I could tell you were working on that.
You pressed through. There was nothing in particular.
Okay.
That I'm like, this was, I tried to stick to everyday routine. You know, I went to the gym, you know, I took care of myself. I stayed straight line classes, everything like that. And I just toughed on through it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And ultimately I'm like, okay, well, you know, I've got a degree in this. Let's follow that course. Let's see what I can do in that. And so I started looking ahead to coming back to Chicago and getting involved in the media scene here and being a part of that. But I think for that, you know, that last 12 to 18 months of school, it was just kind of, all right. And it actually got considerably better. Better. Yeah. I think I just had a really tough, maybe semester and a half where it was tough. But I think the most important thing that I did was keep going, you know, wake up with a good time, you know, not kind of like let it take hold in you.
Sometimes that's the best thing to do, right? You know, we could, you know, as a therapist, I might be putting myself at risk here, but we could spend all our lives kind of talking something through and wringing it out, right? And sometimes you just have to move forward. And if I hear you right, you know, and then maybe that's what the pause was about, was like, you know, did anything happen? Was there a realization? No, I just moved. I just kept going. I, you know, I made it through because I kind of wanted to see where I was going from there.
Right. And it was tough. It was tough. But I couldn't see myself doing the opposite, which was kind of letting that get to me.
Got it.
I was like, okay, I'm going to take this with me. I'm going to carry this with me. But I'm just not going to, you know, fall off.
That's got to have something to do. And I'm curious to hear if you agree with me here, Stuart, with your overall disposition and approach to your life. I mean, I've known you to be a very upbeat, driven guy to an extent. Driven doesn't feel like the right word. Maybe ambitious and progressive guy. And so I can hardly envision that you wouldn't do anything different.
Right. Well, thank you. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's. I agree. I agree to an extent. Yeah. But don't get me wrong. That was not an easy thing to do. I mean, for anyone to just kind of be like, oh, I'm gonna like ram my head into this until I get through it. Like,
especially if you're not sure, yeah, right? You know, if you're not sure, like this is exactly the right path,
right?
You know, at 19, 20, 21 years old, mm-hmm. I think it is really hard to just say, all right, I'm going in this direction. I'm going to finish this thing, right. And I'm going to get a job in this field. Mm-hmm. We'll see whether it's the right thing. You know, like that takes, I think, a lot of kind of insight and forethought for somebody so young.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I wanted to come back to Chicago. I knew that. I mean, and then what happened there was totally kind of up in the air.
Yeah,
that was still for me to figure out. But I'm like, I will not let this kind of thinking, you know, pull me away from ultimately what my goals are.
Got it.
That's to finish strong, to come back here, and to, you know, land an internship, a job, whatever that may have been in my head at the time. But that was on the horizon.
And when you decided that, it was manifested, huh? It was gonna happen, and it did.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it did.
Yeah. Okay, so you finish up at Ball State, you get that degree, mm-hmm. And you actually get a job in Chicago media, exactly right. As planned, right? Exactly as planned.
Seriously, man, yeah. That was it. Whatever hard work and odd twists of fate that kind of helped that manifest was truly incredible. But yeah, you came out and did it.
Yeah, so. And so... you know, there's this part of me that thinks, okay, happily ever after, right? You manifest something, it happens. But it took a turn after that, right? I mean, that's not the end of our story.
No, it's not. Yeah. So I got a job, awesome gig, great company, great bunch of people, and
again, looking perfect on paper, right? I mean, better than perfect.
Right out of school,
I
finished up a semester early, did an internship.
Oh, you finished early?
Finished early, yeah.
I don't think I ever
finished
got that.
Finished a semester early.
Got it.
Was home a semester early. Still got my diploma, technically, after 4 years.
Got it.
Because
okay.
I was all done with my classes, but still walked with the class of 2014
yep.
in the spring.
Got it.
But so I was able to, you know, come home in the winter and kind of be ahead of the graduating class on the job hunt and the internship search. So
smart.
I did that, got in the door at the right spot, and I hit the ground running.
Yeah.
And it felt good. I'm like, oh, man, this is it. This is what I worked for. Like, here I am. Like, it was an awesome feeling.
And at that time, that was true, right? I mean, you'd worked really hard to get there, mm-hmm. and through a rough patch, not a terribly rough patch, but a rough patch nonetheless. That must have felt amazing,
right? Yeah. It was a good win. It felt good. It felt good.
You gotta love a win.
Yeah, absolutely.
You gotta love a win once in a while, right?
And so that was a solid year and a half where I was rocking and rolling.
Mm-hmm.
Straight out of school.
Building a really solid resume and feeling pretty good.
And feeling good, yeah. And I was in a good spot. And then you're right. Then it took a turn. Then I kind of, oh, what's next?
Yeah.
Like everybody does. They kind of get back to that square where they're like, all right, time to move forward. To just, you know, move on.
Yep.
Or find something next.
Yeah.
Whatever that may be.
How did you know, like for me, when I had to find something next, I was in public accounting and, you know, my body was basically screaming, you know, you have to do something different because I was having panic attacks every other day. And, you know, I was having trouble focusing and concentrating and every fiber of my being was telling me you want to do something else and you kind of know what it is. Did you get signals that were that clear from yourself or was it a little fuzzier than that?
It was a bit fuzzier because, you know, I was thinking to myself, like, oh, you know, this is a great place to be. Awesome people. The work is good.
People you went to school with, I would imagine, would kill for that gig. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, ultimately it was like I was looking for something else.
Yeah.
And still am, but was looking for something else.
Yeah. Yeah. So you make a move at some point, yeah?
Yeah, so I mean similar to, you know, three years prior when I was having that rough patch in school, I kind of started getting on the fringe of that again.
Yes.
Where what's next?
Uh-huh.
Come back to that question. And it's like, okay, it's time to get a plan. And that's when I realized I didn't really have a plan in action.
Right.
I didn't know what to do next. You know, like you're in school for 4 years, you got kind of people telling you things, and then you're on your own, you figure it out for yourself.
That's true. It's like school allows you that like bowling lane, and the bumpers are off and the lanes are gone once you're out of school.
Totally. And the last time we talked, you're like, you're looking at a blank page right now, and how exciting that can be to look at a blank page. So that stuck with me, and I still remember that. And like, it is exciting to be holding a pen and be looking at a blank page. But you know, before I had even picked up the pen, I was like, oh man, it's a blank page. It's terrifying.
right. No, it's both, right? I mean, because I think any of us, if we really pause and consider it, we get to write our story from this moment on. We are the authors of our story, and we can continue, even if we're on a really maladaptive path. A lot of people live in a lifetime along a maladaptive path. Oh, I'm heavier than I want to be. I'm more depressed than I want to be. I'm in a job I don't want to do. I'm in a relationship I don't want to be in, or something like that. I think you can also recognize the power of the blank page and think like, you know, okay, whatever time I have left on the globe here, you know, what do I want to do with that time? What do I want that epitaph to read?
Right.
You know?
Absolutely. And the thing that I really tried to pick up on early when I was kind of getting back into this cycle of thinking was the ink on the previous pages is already dry. You can't change that.
Right.
You can't do anything about that. All you got to do now is keep going forward.
Well put. Yes. So you can revisit those pages, but you can't change
it. Exactly. It won't be any good to try to kind of remember how you handle them. Because this is an entirely new situation now. You got to adapt to that.
Right.
And
well put.
So I try to get a head start on that thinking and kind of be aware, be mindful of the cycle that I was going to get in and say, well, no, cannot think like this because it doesn't do you any good. It just doesn't. And so I still, you know, kind of felt victim to like the circular thinking, but in the long run, again, as a process, it was recognizing that, breaking away from that,
right?
And realizing that, you know, at 23, 24, you don't have to have it all figured out, but it's good to have a plan, but you can just jump around and, you know, dip your toes in whatever you want.
Right.
As long as you are confident in that, which I think is something that I did, I was not sure of. I'm like, is it okay that I'm doing this? Because, you know, where I was, it was kind of a straight career shot. You know,
right.
You do this, you do that, you do that, and then you're there.
And everybody else would have been perfectly happy.
Right.
If you had, right? I mean, you know, I would, your parents, and if you had a girlfriend at the time, and your friends, everybody else would have been like, way to go, Stuart, man. You're on your path.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I saw that and it was kind of like, you know, I don't know if that is for me yet.
Right.
I didn't feel like I wanted to jump on that mm-hmm. train and just go off. So there are still some things I think that I wanted to see.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so I think a big challenge was coming to terms with that. Coming to terms that you have to be confident, you know, in the choices that you make and whether that choice is to not follow this path and do something else instead. That can be a tough decision.
Courageous, right? I mean, really courageous, especially when the path is going fine, right? You're getting feedback from bosses that says, "Hey, there's a career sitting right here for you," right?
and sometimes that involves a little bit of waiting, and that's fine. You know, that's the name of the game. But I think that the point that I reached was, I want to see something else instead.
Yeah,
just a change of scenery, mm-hmm. and to leave was tough. Because it was such an awesome spot, but like looking back on it now, what a great 2 years it was there. Like what an awesome time, and what a great bunch of people that I can still go back to and everything.
So you have no regrets about spending that time there. You don't feel like it's wasted time at all.
None, no. But definitely towards the end of my time there, I was looking for something else, mm-hmm. and that kind of spurred me to act.
Yeah, yep.
Act.
So. I'm hearing a couple of themes. One is certainly like process, accepting process, right? And accepting that, you know, like, okay, I'm going to like just, I'm going to put the kayak in the river and I'm going to take it where it goes, you know, and, right. and it might go in a different direction. There might be a fork mm-hmm. and I got to make a call and that I might take the path less traveled, but that's okay. And dipping your toe here and there is okay. Trying things is okay.
Absolutely. And to that point, I think the thing, and especially in this last little instance, I really had to be aware of like the lens that in which I was looking through it as. Was this going to be a tough time or was this going to be like a really exciting time, you know? You get the choice to make that. And that's something that I'm still working on.
Yeah.
Where I have to look at things and be like, how am I going to make this?
Right.
How am I going to experience this?
The mindset is everything too, right? I mean, yeah, because you could decide in your head, this is really trying, you know, as opposed to this is exhilarating. This is great. This is what I want.
Right.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And the vibe you carry into it, I would imagine, is going to carry you through it, right?
Totally.
Yeah. Tough to shift one in midstream.
Stick with our analogy. Completely agree. So that was one thing as well, that looking through the lenses.
Yeah. No, that really, there's a lot of wisdom in that. You talk a lot also about mindfulness, about being present now, in this moment now. How does that apply to the arc of the story we're talking about here?
Oh man, it permeates everything. And it is, I can't remember when I started thinking of picking up on that, on the mindfulness. And I recently, within the last probably 6 to 12 months, I think that I really tried to make an effort and to be mindful of my thinking and how that manifests, how I, you know, put that out into the world.
Yes.
And I think it really all comes back to the circular thinking and being mindful of that. And being able to look at things, I remember reading this book, and it said to look through things through the eyes of a beginner, the beginner's eyes, and just kind of experience all in a fresh and unique setting, as opposed to kind of going through like emotion or, because it's tiring, you know, to do that
Absolutely.
To feel that same thing over and over again. So
right.
Being able, I think, to be mindful of the choices I was making and the way I was thinking, you know, helped me to the point that where I am today. And it's an iterative process, you know. It's
of course.
I'm still working on it, but I think that it is. I'm definitely trying to keep working on that.
I can tell. So, give me a feel for, if you can, what you picture the future looking like for you, you know, whether it's career wise or otherwise. Do you have some given that you're a mindful guy looking through a beginner's eyes, and you accept as best you can. It's all a process. You accept that you're in process, that this is, you know, you're not a finished product here. Mm-hmm. And your career and your life is not a finished product. Do you have vision for what 5 or 10 years down the road might look like for you?
Oh man. You know what, Dr. Duffy, I don't think I do. I don't think I do. What I do know and what I did learn from, you know, my last couple months was that I need to be able to accept and to go with the flow. You know, you have to go with the flow kind of mantra.
Yeah, yeah.
And be aware of that.
Yeah.
And ultimately, you know, I will choose where I land and where mm-hmm. I go from there, but it's tough to see right now.
I can tell.
It's tough
I can
to
tell.
See, yeah.
You don't look concerned.
And I don't feel that now. I don't feel that now. Because I think one thing that I am still, I can say the words, I'm working on feeling them,
yep.
is that, one, everything will be okay. Two, you can live with it. You can accept it.
Yep. You know, that's some powerful wisdom there. You know, the reason I wanted to talk to you, Stuart, is when I talk to you, you get me thinking, you get me deep into your process. You're good at drawing me in. And it's always this interesting philosophical discussion about the nature of our lives. And you also get me thinking about my process, the process of other people, you know. So my hope is that for listeners, they'll hear what you're saying. I mean, I really honor that there isn't this like clean conclusion, that you really recognize I'm in process, but I accept everything's going to be okay, and I can accept and live with where I am in the process. Is there a final word? Like, you know, you're doing your TED talk, you got a room full of people, and you've got 30 seconds. Is there anything you want people to hear that you've learned through this process so far? Because we're in the middle of it somewhere.
I think the one thing that has really helped me in, you know, the last year or so is being patient with yourself, learning, taking emotional inventory of how you're feeling, what you're thinking, recognizing whether that's good thinking or bad thinking. You don't need to analyze it, but just if it's not good thinking, if you're not comfortable with it, that you have the ability to change that. And you can say, I don't want to think this way. I do not want to think this way. I do not want to experience whatever it is this way, whether it's work, a relationship, or just general thoughts kicking around in your head, that I have the ability to change that.
We have agency over our thinking. That is powerful wisdom. I wish I knew that when I was 24 years old. I expect and anticipate all good things for you. I really do. I don't know what your future holds either, but it's going to be awesome. And I think you know that. I appreciate you being here, Stuart, and I welcome you back to this space with me anytime, because it's always fun and inspiring to talk to you. And you probably can hear it as you listen. It's fun to talk to Stuart, and it's exciting because you feel like something good is going on. So I appreciate you being here, man.
Thanks, man. I appreciate you having me on. This was awesome.
Good. Okay. So with gratitude to Stuart, you can find this podcast on iTunes, on Podbean, soon to be on WGN+. If you have thoughts, comments, questions, smart remarks, or ideas for this podcast, you can follow me, Dr. John Duffy, on Facebook, and just drop me a message there. There is a free parenting video series for those of you who are parents on my website as well, drjohnduffy.com. Once again, I so appreciate, and I'm going to speak for Stuart here as well today, I so appreciate your time. We know it's valuable. I look forward to talking to you next time. Thanks so much, folks. Bye-bye.